talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you had a good weekend. I know it's hot, still hot. Let's see what we got going on here. It's really hot in Kingfisher already. 101, 94 at Hollis, 95 at Cheyenne, the home of the secret weapon. 94 at Arnett, home of Lori Campbell. 94 at Slapout. 97 at Lahoma. 99 at Fairview. Hobart, you're 95. And out west of here in the panhandle of Texas. By the way, it's mentioned in Texas. I got some interesting facts for you coming up about Texas here later on in the show. 92 at Lipscomb. 95 at Miami. 94 at Wellington. And 96 at Odell. It's going to be warm, but they say coming up later this week into next week, the things will be a little cooler, which will be really cool. How about that? And anyway, I don't want to get you guys' hopes up, but I got a really good feeling about this hurricane that's coming across the Atlantic right now. Anyway, I got a good feeling if it keeps on the track it's going right now, if it gets into that area where they're saying it's going to track to and hits that high-pressure dome that's over United States and Mexico. If it turns right where I think it will, it's coming to Oklahoma. And yes, the coast of Texas and a lot of people is going to get a lot of rain. They probably don't want a bunch of rain, but that'll bring one of them big rains up into Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle because we need some pond filling going on. This hauling water is for the birds. And so, anyway, hopefully we do. Everybody just keep their fingers crossed and don't put any money on my statement. I'm not a meteorologist, but I just kind of, I don't know, I get that feeling. We'll see what goes on. Nothing really exciting happened at the Clark Ponderosa this weekend. We were busy here in Elk City with the KECO Open, which was a huge success. Good time. And just having it all right there at the Elk City golf course there at the country club was worth its weight and go. Got to see a lot of people I knew. And anyway, it was a good turnout. It was hot, but they played good. There was some good golf going on out there. So anyway, that's over with. But other than that, just taking care of the high tunnel. My tomatoes are still looking good, even in this heat. I'm totally convinced that if you can keep Oklahoma sun, if you can keep the Oklahoma sun and wind off of your vegetables, it makes a world of difference. I'm 100% convinced now with this first year with the high tunnel. And yes, it gets hot in there, but it's just, I don't know, it's a different kind of hot. And you get the sun beating down on you or the wind hitting it. Because I've seen a lot of gardens that I've been driving by here lately are looking, it's not from the lack of care. It's just that this early triple-digit temperatures and this wind we're having is just hard on things, totally hard on things. Anyway, but I did have a thought the other day when I was hiding under a shade tree out there at the golf course the other day. It made me think about conventional versus no-till farming. So when cattle get hot, when humans get hot, where do they head to? The shade, because it's 10 to 15 degrees cooler in the shade than it is. So think about that on your crop ground. If you have cover on your crop ground and your ground's cooler, what does that mean? Well, it means you're, if you, especially if you got any crops growing in your cover crop, or where you sprayed and killed your cover crop and you had new crops going in there, just think about that. How much better people and animals do in the shade versus, you know, not in the shade. So imagine that for your crops too. I mean, I know cover crops are not a total shade to the ground when you burn it and plant another crop in it, but it does make a world of difference. So yesterday, out of curiosity, I have no-till peanuts going, and I burned my wheat crop that just started heading when I burned it to put the peanuts in there. I went out there and took temperature of it versus some temperature of some bare soil peanuts, and there was 18 degrees difference yesterday in the ground temperature. 18 degrees difference. And I was surprised it wasn't more. And but anyway, just something for thought. Just something I come across there anyway. Okay, let's see what happened in the agriculture world overnight and during the weekend. See if we missed anything. Grain and soybean futures were a little changed ahead of a shortened week of Trader Digest, a flurry of reports that were released Friday. Markets will be closed Wednesday, obviously because of the 4th of July. The U.S. Department of Agriculture on Friday released its acreage quarterly grain stocks and ag prices reports. Corn acreage in 2024 is estimated to fall 3% year over year to 91.5 million acres. Soybean area is expected to rise 3% to 86.1 million. And wheat plantings were forecast to drop 5% to 47.2 million, according to the USDA. Let's see here. Corn acreage in 24. Let's see here. Winter wheat area was projected at 33.8 million acres. That's down 8% on an annual basis. Spring wheat acreage was seen at 11.3 million, up 1% from 23. In its quarterly grain stocks report, the government said corn, soybean, and wheat inventories all jump year over year. Corn stocks in all positions on June 1st were reported at 4.99 billion bushels, up 22% from last year. Soybean inventories totaled 970 million bushels, a 22% increase from June 1st of 23. Wheat stockpiles at the start of the last month came in at 702 million bushels. That's up 23% year over year. Corn futures for December delivery fell a penny to $4.19¾ a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soybeans for November delivery lost a penny and three quarter to 11.02 and a quarter a bushel. Soy meal dropped 280 to 332.70 a short ton, and soy oil was up 0.82 cents to 44.61 cents a pound. Wheat futures for September delivery gained 2¼ to 575¾ a bushel, and Kansas City futures overnight rose 0.25 to 586½ a bushel. The amount farmers received for their goods rose month to month but fell on an annual basis, according to the Ag Department. The prices received index for May rose 0.9% from April but fell 2.7% from May of last year. Prices received for crop production rose 1.8% from previous month but plunged 15% year over year. The grain and oil seed index gained 0.5% from April, but was down 25%. Feed grain prices received rose 2.2%, and food grain added 2.1% monthly, but were down 31% and 19% year over year, according to the USDA. Sounds like something I was working on. Oil seed prices received rose 1.1% from April, but were down 16% from last year. The prices paid index, amount producers will pay for items such as commodity services, interest, taxes, and wage rates, were down 0.2% from May and 0.2% from the same month a year ago, according to the USDA. Well, what's going on in our farm belts with weather? Let's check it out. Triple digit heat indexes are forecast for most of the central U.S. and along the Gulf Coast today and tonight. According to the National Weather Service, excessive heat warnings and heat advisories have been issued for a large chunk of land stretching from northern Kansas to the Texas Gulf Coast and in east into central Georgia, according to the weather map shown. In eastern Oklahoma, excessive heat warnings will run from noon, starting now, till 9 o'clock tonight. Indexes are expected to range from 110 to 115. Combination of hot temperatures and high humidity will create a dangerous situation in which heat-related illnesses are more likely. Parts of Louisiana are forecast to hit a 115 degree, will hit 115 degrees this afternoon. Anybody working outside in the affected areas are advised to drink fluids, stay out of the sun, and retreat to air conditioning when possible. So in other words, you need to put a cover crop on your body, go in the house, sit down in the Lazy Boy, watch some TV, and have you a cool glass of water. And just take it easy today, everybody. Just take it easy from here on until the weather cools down. It's just plumb hot. All right, well, today is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Happy Hour Day. Let's take an OCA break. When I get back, I'll have your Lipscomb's Dealerships Ag Market update for you coming up right after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes here for SEI Agritech in Elk City. You know, SEI is ready to help you with your summer cover crops. They offer a multi-species blend that's great for grazing and hay. Plus, it'll help address your soil health concerns. So give the good folks a call at SEI Agritech today at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317. Or stop by and see them on South Randall in Elk City today.
We do get travelers going through that have AC that doesn't work. You're running down the interstate and it's 105 degrees outside and it can be that hot, if not hotter, inside. Lots of times during the winter, you can come up with a leak in your system. So it is very important to make sure that that stuff is correctly maintained. Getting it checked out, do your general maintenance is better than wait until it's broke to fix it.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bags, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Hey farmers and ranchers, it's time to make your life easier with an easy haul hay trailer from Everett Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma. These trailers are designed to haul multiple hay bales as quickly and efficiently as possible, keeping more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time and make your life easier. What a deal! See all they have to offer at EverettWelding.com. Be sure and check out their ads in the Penny News.
If you've been looking for a good dealer you can trust when it comes to buying a new car, truck, or SUV, well, the Lipscomb dealerships have arrived in Elk City and Sayre, and we'd like to invite you out to help us celebrate with good people and great deals on new Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chevrolet, GMC, Ford, and pre-owned vehicles backed by a family that's been in the car business for almost half a century and always puts you, the customer, first. Lipscomb. Good people. Great deals in Elk City, Sayre, and at LipscombDealerships.com.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Miami, Texas. 96 degrees, heat index feels like 96. Humidity is 32%, dew point 61. The winds are out of the southwest at 25 with gust up to 31 right now. And no rainfall so far. Today is the first. And no red flag minutes. And 80th soil temperature there is 78 degrees. Huh. Pretty cool up there for them. Anyway, a lot of people are at 88 to 90 degrees. That's 12 degrees difference ground temperature. Let's see. All right, let's check out the Lipscomb Ag Market update. Let me back up. Lipscomb Dealerships Ag Market update. There we go. I'll get her down one of these days. July corn right now, that's over. September corn, 404, down 2 3/4. December, 418, down 2 1/4. Soybeans for August, 1144, up 10 1/2. September, 1103, up 3. Let's see here. Soybean meal for July, 363. Up 2 1/2. It's still showing rates. And then we got August soybean meal, 346, 10, up 10. Soybean oil for July, 45.35, up 158. August is 45.80, up 173. Hard red winter wheat, September 597, up 10 3/4. December is 10.16, up 10. What's cotton doing? It's not giving me an up-to-date report. So it looks like it's in the green. But last time reported on any of them was around 10 o'clock. So I don't know what's going on there. All right, let's check out West Texas. Oil, August, 83.08, up $1.54. Natural gas is in the red at 2.50, down 9 today for August. Looks like the NASDAQ and S&P and the Dow have all slowly recovered from the presidential debate the other night. Anyway. August live cattle, 184.62, down 80. October, 184.30, down 57. Feeder cattle for August, 257.70, down 160. September, 258.25. This microphone won't be still. Hang on here. September 258.25, down 140. October's 258.45, down 155. Lean hogs are down. June or July. Yeah, July is 89.32, down 25. August is 88.17, down 132. There you have it. That is your Lipscomb Dealerships Ag Market update. Well, since it's kind of cattle day. Oh, let me give you a rundown on the sale barns that I've checked. So Woodward's not having one tomorrow or Thursday. Hollis is not having one tomorrow. Elk City's not having one Friday. Hobart is having theirs Wednesday, and then they're going to have their sheep and goat sale Saturday. So that's definitely on for on. I didn't check on the ones up in the city. I don't think that. I bet they're not having one. Anyway, so no sale barns. Basically, I think Hobart's the only one having. That'd be Wednesday. Just information for you there. For you only. Okay, let's check out. Where did it go? There it is. Ah, here is your report for cattle. in summary, from all the auctions last week in Oklahoma that were reported, 24,611 head were sold compared to 21,000 the week before and 23,000 last year. Feeder cattle looked like made up 87.8% of it, slaughter cattle 9.5% of it, replacement cattle 2.7%. Compared to last week, feeder steers steady to $3 higher, feeder heifers steady to $3 lower. Demand was moderate to good. Feeder cattle, steers and heifers 4 to 8, steer and heifer calves $4 to $8 lower. Demands for calves diminishes hot, humid weather, creating tough conditions for all cattle. More new crop calves beginning to show, and demand is limited for these. Hot, humid weather is encompassing the much of the trade area, and these conditions are limiting receipts. Slaughter cows and bulls traded mostly steady this week. Cow runs are beginning to get bigger, and some of the barns are seeing herd dispersals due to this hot, dry weather. Supply, I already told you what the supply was. What was it on beef dairy? They didn't have any beef dairy steers. They got a column for that now after Dr. Paul Beck talked about that. Let's just check out a few. This is like do some unwinged against some wings. Steers, unwinged, weighing 450, brought 322.50. Some that were winged weighing five. Well, they had some value added, 339. And then some fancy ones brought 341. That was in the 400-pound range. Let's go down here to some 800-pounders. Unwinged, well, we don't have any unwinged ones at 800, but we had some 758-pound unwinged steers brought 245. And then we had some fancy 800-pounders brought 270. And then some just winged ones brought 250 up to 257. So the cattle market was really good. Let's see here. I think these are heifers. No, these are more steers. Let's just kind of look over heifers. Here we go. Some unwinged ones weighing 488 brought 281. Some other ones that were winged brought 304 that was averaging the 400-pound weights. So anyway, let's check out the cows, slaughter cow deal here real quick, and we'll move on to the next report. Bulls. Breaker cows, quite a few of them. Low was 133.55, high was 148.04 per 100 weight. Boner cows, quite a few of those sold. Looks like low was 130. High was 147.35, average 138.12. Quite a few of them. There were 700-800 cows sold in Oklahoma, boner cows. Anyway, same thing with the lean cows. A lot of them, 800 to 900 head, it looks like here. Anyway, very low. Well, let's just go with the low. The low was 124.37. Average was 134.89. The high was 141.72. And then quite a few big bulls were sold. They were ranging anywhere from 1248 up to 1834 pounds. The high was actually 1834 pounder, brought 173.92. The low was 147.34. Average just a penny over 160 at 161.46. Bred cows looked like they were ranging anywhere from 1700 to 2500. And then pairs, let's see if they had any pair. Yeah, I guess not a whole lot of pairs, but anyway, they were 2,400 all the way up to 3,000 last week in that area there. Cow-calf pairs, didn't matter what you had going on with them. Had a baby, 300-pounder or more than 300-pounder. They was all in the same price range. Okay, let's check out what was happening in Texas. If I can find it, here it is. 4,859 head was sold in at the sale barns in Texas last week, compared to 5,600 the week before and compared to 3,700 the week ago or a year ago. Gotcha. Anyway, no report will be issued next week due to the 4th of July holiday, so you don't have to listen to this next Monday. But compared to last week in Texas, feeder steers and heifers were steady to $4 higher. Demand was good. Temperatures reached triple digits, but pop-up storms cooled areas off that were fortunate enough for the relief. Slaughter cows and bulls were $4 to $7 higher. Supply included 84% feeder. There's a little bit of confusion here. 15% slaughter cattle and 1% replacement cattle. So there you go. Prices basically, actually, I compared all the weekly reports last Friday. I was bored doing something in here before my show. Oklahoma sale barns have some of the best prices in the United States. Matter of fact, they were top last week as far as prices was concerned compared to Texas, Kansas, Nebraska, Wyoming, North Carolina, Georgia. Oklahoma has the best sales, auction sales in the United States as far as I'm concerned. And so, and it was proof on paper. I think I was looking at a USDA deal. But anyway, they got some of the best ones. All right. Let's go ahead and take an Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break and be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, June the 14th. 1,435 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 475 brought 315. 4 at 546 brought 298. 4 at 720 brought 264. 8 at 753 brought 257. 3 at 955 brought 228. 4 at 966 brought 225. 4 head of heifers at 278 brought 335. 8 at 424 brought 290. 5 at 544 brought 286. 7 at 654 brought 253, 20 at 807 brought 218, 13 at 845 brought 221, butcher cows were 62 to 152, butcher bulls brought 120 to 178, bred cows were 1300 to 2500, pairs brought 900 to 2775, Elk City Livestock Auction 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma, sell every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
Life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Our negative thoughts can stick with us, so we all have something to get off our chest. Therapy is a safe space to share whatever's weighing you down, so you can get some relief and find a solution. BetterHelp offers professional, affordable online therapy on a flexible schedule. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Let it out with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/HitsRadio today to get 10% off your first month and tell them Hits Radio sent you.
Everyone around me was drinking coffee, and I wanted to be a coffee drinker too, but everything I tasted was either too bitter or too sweet, so I tried one more place. Instead of just ordering, I told them an idea of what I wanted, and they crafted a drink just for me. It tasted fresh, like coffee is supposed to. The brew was mild and the flavor not too sweet. Exactly what I wanted. They've done this for lots of people. They'll do this for you too. Thanks to Twister's Coffee Company next to Brahms in Elk City, now I'm a coffee drinker. Every day.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your Northwestern Oklahoma Ag weather update. I picked the May Ranch, 93 degrees, but it feels like it's 99. Dew point is 70 degrees. Humidity's 46, and the winds are out of the south, southwest at 21. 10-day rain total, 4.04 inches of rain. Hey, you go. Good rain for up there. 3-day average. Bare soil temperature, 84 degrees. A 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.8. Sunset at 9 o'clock. Weather is going to be hot today. It's going to be 97. I think you're going to get there. South wind, 16 to 20. Same thing tonight. Mostly clear, low around 79. South wind, 17 to 21 with gusts up to 30. Tomorrow, more of the same. Hot. 101 for a high and continues south to southwest wind 17 to 21 miles an hour with wind gust up to 30. Ooh, see here. Right. I got an interesting deal I want to discuss with you guys. I got this from my Texas A&M law email that I get every week. Anyway, you guys ever heard anybody having a fence boundary dispute? Well, this one was a good one. The fence boundary dispute involves adverse possession claim. The ownership of 42 acres was in dispute in Best Visit versus Thornton, a case involving claims of adverse possession when a barbed wire fence was built off the property line decades ago. In 1975, Randolph Best's grandma deeded him 1/3 of undivided interest in two tracts of land. The remaining 2/3 undivided interest was deeded to the remaining appellants, however you say that in this case. One tract contained 322 acres, the other contained 320 for a total of 642 acres. In 2020, a survey was conducted in conjunction with the sale of the property. The surveyor, using meets and bounds in Randolph's deed, determined the two tracts contain a total of 599 acres. Randolph requested the survey complete a second survey using the existing fence line around the property instead of the meets and bounds description. The second survey showed the land containing 642 acres under the fence. Best and the other people in this brought suit against Mary Sue Thornton, the record owner of the adjoining tract of land, claiming they acquired title to 42 acres under their fence by adverse possession. At trial, the court found while the appellants had used the 42 acres openly and exclusively for grazing cattle and hunting leases for over 50 years, they failed to prove adverse possession. There was no evidence as to the reason of the original fence and who installed it when it was installed, and the only open and obvious use was grazing cattle. So it must be down there. So at the Waco Court of Appeals, they affirmed this. To prove adverse possession, a party must show possession that is actual, visible, continuous, notorious, distinct, hostile, and of such character so to indicate unmistakably a claim of exclusive ownership. A tenant's occupancy of the land can constitute the landlord's possession. When dealing with an adverse possession claim involving grazing and fencing, the issues of how to categorize that fence often arises. Fences are classified either casual fences or design enclosures. If the fence existed before the claimant took possession and the claimant failed to demonstrate the purpose for what which the fence was built, then the fence is presumed to be a casual fence and generally does not prove adverse possession. This is only a presumption, however, and may be rebutted if defendant offers evidence the fence is actually a design enclosure. It gets better. So the court stated that this case turns on the question of whether the existing barbed wire fence claim is the boundary between their property and the Thorntons is it a casual fence or a design fence. There was no dispute the fence had been there in the same place for decades with testimony it had been there since 1965. Randolph testified for helping the Thornton family repair the fence in 1963 when they shored up the fence line and fixed broken wires. The fence was repaired again by them, the tenants, and a Thornton family employee who had leased the land beginning in 2008. The tenant testified he put up new wire, put in new posts, and tied wire back together where needed. This fence, the court held, is a classic casual fence. The fence existed before they took possession of the property and provided no explanation for the purpose of which it was built. And let's get down here where they was talking to Mrs. Thornton. Here we go. The appellants asserted Thornton knew where the fence was located but never complained about it encroaching on her property. They also pointed to the fact she shared responsibility for fence repairs and claimed these two things showed a belief by Thornton that the fence was the boundary line. So here's her side of the story. Thornton disagreed. Thornton explained at one time that all the land was owned by William Andrew Bonner, who put fences wherever he wanted them. She testified that she knew where all the fences are located, but did not know who put them there and why. She was aware of the location of the fences does not match the meets and bounds descriptions of property boundaries. She stated fences are not boundaries. Instead, they were placed to suit the fence builders to keep cattle and hogs out and to deal with the terrain on the ground. She testified because this was all family land and there are fences all over. The exact boundary is unknown until it's surveyed by the meets and bounds. The appellate court found the trial court was entitled to find Thornton's explanation logical and credible. Her testimony supports the trial court finding that this was a casual fence. There you go. Just remember that when you look over there, you have a survey done. Just got into a little bit of this here a while back. There was some missing acres and we found them and they were on the other property, but the fence was put there in agreement by landowners prior to us. And I think it would be more of a permanent fence than a casual because both landowners and one of them still alive agreed on where that fence was to go. But I don't know. The law. It is the law. Interesting. I got a text from somebody earlier that, anyways, talking about their garden. They started putting the plant food on there every so often and putting up some shade, and it's making a world of difference on their tomato garden. How cool is that? I also wanted to update you on some cash grain prices right now. I went to Planters Co-op website out of Lone Wolf, and current cash grain prices for wheat right now is at $5.18, and Milo is at $3.79. Just so you guys know. Somebody asked me to start saying that, so there it is. All right, the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association is a member-led and member-driven organization that provides legislative representation to protect things like your farm sales tax exemption, water rights, property rights, up to $10,000 theft reward program to assist in gathering information if you experience livestock theft, in-person and virtual producer education, beef direct sales list that connects consumers with OCA members, marketing beef, monthly issues of the Cowman magazine, and weekly email updates and issues videos. For just $100 a year, you can experience all these member benefits and so much more. That's less than $2 a week or a little over $8 a month to have an association that's working full-time to represent you and to help protect your way of life. www.okcattleman.org or call Miss Lori. And even though she's Mrs., it's just cooler to call her Miss Lori. Miss Lori at 580-273-5137. And somebody listening up there, if they can ever catch Jeremiah singing, video that for me. Anyway, let's go ahead and take an Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break. When I come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather update for southwestern Oklahoma, and it's not looking too good. So we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com. High
cotton. Harvest equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed. At Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
Willow, Hammond, Elk City. What do these three towns make you think about? Cows and cotton? Oil and gas? But these three towns have produced some of the best medical care you'll find. Urology Associates Western Oklahoma isn't just a name. It lets you know that the three board-certified medical providers taking care of you are actually from here. Dr. Cole Wooten from Willow. Certified urological nurse practitioners Tracy Lane from Hammond and Aaron Doherty from Elk City. They love it here. They love the people here. And they'll retire here. Medicine isn't just their job. It's personal. They do what they do because they love taking care of people. They love taking care of their neighbors and their friends. Urology Associates Western Oklahoma, 522 North Main in Elk City. On Facebook, search Urology Associates Western Oklahoma. These folks from Willow, Hammond, and Elk City will take great care of you.
If I tell you that I'm going to fix something, you called and something wasn't right, or you call and you say, hey, I need you to make this payment for me next week. I'm going to be out of town, but will you make a note? Will you please, you know, do this for me? That's on me to do that. And if that doesn't happen, I can't say, well, I don't know who took that phone call. I don't know who agreed to do that. If I tell you I'm going to do something, it's going to get done. I'm Laura Carlucci, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Hey everyone, this is JJ Quibido at No Limit Land Management and Excavation. At No Limit Land Management and Excavation, we are proudly veteran-owned. We deliver top-tier forestry mulching, land clearing, and excavation services across Oklahoma. We leverage advanced technology, including our FECON Fusion machine, to ensure projects are completed with efficiency and faster than our competition. Our comprehensive offerings include terrace building, pond grading, junk removal, and gravel installation, all performed with the highest level of professionalism and precision. We are committed to excellence and reliability, transforming each property into a testament to the American dream. We are locked and loaded and ready to get your land cleared, regardless if it is cedars, elms, cottonwood, mesquite, or any other invasive trees. We can help you clear up your pastures for grazing or get your land ready to build. Give No Limit Land Management and Excavation a call at 580-303-8479. We do not give bids over the phone. That number again is 580-303-8479.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Yes, sir. That's where I put him, boss. Ha. Anyway, all right, let's check out your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag weather update. I picked Mangum. Currently, it's 98 degrees. Feels like 102. Heat risk is moderate. Dew point is 66. Humidity is 36. The winds are out of the southwest at 13. Wind gust up to 20. 10-day rain total, 0.02 inches of rain. That's 21 thousandths for you guys in Roger Mills County. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 92 degrees. Sunrise, 6:28. Sunset, 8:55. 102 for a high today. Southwest winds to 16 to 18. Tonight, 78. Same thing. South winds, 15 to 18 with gust up to 30. More of it tomorrow, people. Sorry. Hot, 105. South winds, 14 to 21 miles an hour. According to the Oklahoma Mesonet, that July looks above normal in temperatures and below normal in moisture. So, not good news at all. Need to go over some things that are happening involving KECO this month. Lots of things are going on. The earliest things going on, Friday and Saturday of July 12th and 13th, which would be next week, it will be a salute to our veterans, the 34th annual Foss Lake Christmas in July. Friday, vendors open at 6 o'clock, a ceremony honoring the military and first responders. 8 o'clock Friday night, free concert with Dean Jackson Band. Saturday, 7 a.m., the Dash Across the Dam. 8 o'clock check-in for disc golf doubles and kayak trail ride at Chinaberry at 10 a.m. 10:30, the Foss Lake King and Queen pageant. And then 2 o'clock, duct tape and cardboard boat race starts. And then Saturday night, synchronized to music will be the big fireworks show. So anyway, that's coming up at Foss Lake next weekend, the 12th and 13th. And then the following weekend, on a Saturday, July 20th, KECO presents a Wild Plum Jam Music Fest. Get ready to jam at the Wild Plum Jam Music Fest. And it, gates open at 5 o'clock, and the music starts at 7 o'clock, and it's going to be good. The Great Divide, the Tyler Wilhelm, and then Caroline Grace will be there. $30 if you purchase in advance, $40 at the gate. And then the following Saturday, the KECO Kids Fishing Derby, one of my favorite days of the week. And Presidio's Family Day at the Park, July 27th. Fishing tournament is from 8 to noon. If I get lucky, I'll be weighing the kids fishing again. I like messing with those kids. They come up with about a 2-ounce my brain went dead. Panfish, and it's fun. They're happy. It's great. I love it. This is the 10th annual KECO's Kids Fishing Derby and Presidio Family Day. Like I said, 8 to noon. And also, I think there's something in here. Oh, yeah, the Presidio Family Day. The train rides, carousel, and the putt-putt will be open till 1 o'clock. And it shuts down an hour after the fishing derby, but there's going to be marked fish, and you don't need to have fishing equipment. Lieutenant James and Captain Hedrick's stuff, their guys will be there. The Wildlife Department always there. And then anyway, free t-shirts to arrive early to receive a t-shirt. So it's a busy month. Especially here at KECO. We just got through with the KECO tournament. All right, I want to check out some cotton stuff for you guys. Let's check out week before's report, or net export sales for the week ending June 20th was 98,200 bales. This brings total to 23-24 sales to approximately 13.6 million. Total sales at the same point in the 22-23 marketing year was approximately 14.5 million bales. Total new crop for 24-25 sales are at 2.2 million bales. Shipments for the week were 151,600, bringing total exports to date to 10.2 million bales, compared with 11.1 million bales last year in the 22-23. With less than 2 months remaining in the marketing year, weekly shipments must average 263,000 bales a week to hit the USDA projection of 11.8 million. I don't see that happening. So anyway, I see this a lot on all my emails and news updates today, so I'm going to share this with you guys. The cattle producers celebrate Supreme Court decision rein in administrative overreach. And not only from the NCBA, but the Cotton Council, there's a lot of people clapping for this deal here. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association welcomed the Supreme Court's decision in the case Luper Bright Enterprises versus Raimondo, a decision that reins in the legal concept of the Chevron deference and reduces overreaching regulations from federal agencies that lack congressional authority. It's about time. Our elected officials in Congress should be making our law, not unelected bureaucrats at the federal agencies, said NCBA President Mark Esney, a Wyoming cattle rancher. Cattle producers have experienced numerous instances of federal agencies enacting overreach regulations on our farms and ranches, exceeding their authority granted by Congress. I am glad the Supreme Court is reining in these federal agencies and putting back power back in the hands of those elected to represent us in Washington. While the case of Luper Bright Enterprises versus Raimondo does not directly involve cattle production, the case challenged a legal concept known as the Chevron difference, which gives federal agencies the authority to interpretate statutes they consider vague. Chevron difference takes its name from the Supreme Court case Chevron USA versus Natural Resources Defense Council, where the court decided that as long as Congress has not directly spoken on the issue and legal statutes are open to interpretation, courts should defer to federal agencies. Federal agencies have frequently used the Chevron deference to implement a number of regulations without specific legislation being passed by Congress. In the last four decades, Congress has ceded authority to unelected federal bureaucrats who made the regulations that impact farmers and ranchers. Let's see, where'd that go? Ranchers every day, said NCBA Chief Counsel Mary Thomas Hart. Long term, this decision will impact almost every regulation the NCBA has worked on. The decision puts Congress back in the driver's seat for crafting policy, reins in the administration state, and strengthens accountability by ensuring that people we elect are the ones crafting our national laws. There's all. That's good news. Very good news. I gotta find some of those examples. Let's see here. I seen something very interesting from Dr. Peel. He just got back from Ireland. Anyway, where's he at? There it is. Anyway, the 2024 Ferguson College of Agriculture Study, a broad group, crossed from Scotland to Ireland by ferry to finish up the two-week experience. The island of Ireland is just slightly larger than Scotland. Both are about the same size as South Carolina. Ireland consists of Northern Ireland, part of the UK, and the six northern counties, and the Republic of Ireland, making up the remaining 83% of the island. It's got some interesting stuff over there in Ireland. Over 80% of the land in Ireland is used for pasture and hay production, with under 10% used for crop production. However, some of the cropped area is extremely productive. Major crops are wheat, barley, and oats. The photos, he's got some photos in there. But he said average wheat yield there is 175 bushels per acre. Unlike the UK, cattle outnumber sheep in Ireland with a total cattle inventory of around 6.6 million head compared to 4 million in sheep. They are 1.5 million dairy cattle in the country compared to 0.9 million beef cows. Dairy production is a huge industry with over 90% of the dairy products exported. Most dairies are pasture based on ryegrass forage. Dairy production is seasonal with many cows bred to calve in the spring. So lactation coincides with summer pasture production. Dairy production drops sharply in the winter months with export production sharply curtailed and domestic fluid milk production maintained by a small set of specialized dairy farms. Interesting. Beef production is very important in Ireland, which has the third largest beef cow herd in Europe after France and Spain. See, I didn't know that. I learned something today. About 90% of the Irish beef is exported primarily to the UK and Europe. And it says here, it's got some pictures of a feedlot. It don't look nothing like our feedlots. But anyway, cattle feeding under the roof under wet conditions, they feed them there. The bulls are fed exclusively in feedlot, arriving as 800-pound feeders and marketed about 7 months later at roughly 1,600 pounds. The ration consists primarily of grass, silage, and fodder beets with some grain. Steers and heifers fed for domestic and other markets are often grazed longer and then finished in a short 2 to 3 month period. How about that? All right, hope you guys have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre and Elk City. God bless.